Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. And we are honored by having each and every one of you here today to be in the presence of the Lord with us today. And if this is your first time at Oasis, just if you will, just raise your hand this morning so our ushers can give you a card. And we want to thank you for coming, and let's give our visitors a hand clap this morning. Amen. Praise God. We welcome each and every one of you. And we encourage you to just enter into what God has for you today. Praise God, because He's here, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. He is here today. I want to speak a word of blessing over you before I turn over to Pastor today. So be ready to receive what God has.
Amen.
I declare in the name of Jesus that you are the anointed of God. I declare you are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I declare you are the healed. You are healthy, whole, strong, spirit, soul, and body. I declare no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. I declare you are a doer of the word. You are what the word of God says you are. You have what the word of God says you can have, and you can do what the word of God says you can do. I declare you are redeemed from debt, poverty, and lack. I declare your household is blessed and living under an open heaven. I declare the blessings of the Lord makes you rich. Wealth and riches are in your house. Everything you put your hands to prospers. And I declare the wealth of the wicked, the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places comes to you. I declare you are a world overcomer and you have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap
this morning.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory
praise
to God. I turn over to Pastor at this time.
Praise God. Well, it is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. And I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word.
God's good word.
This day.
And I declare.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
To receive.
God's good word.
This day.
And I declare.
I'll never, ever be the same again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. Father, we thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing, and that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. We thank you for answers coming in your presence this day. Holy Spirit, speak through me, preach through me, teach through me. Help me to say exactly what I should say, Holy Spirit, the way I should say it. Illuminate the eyes of my understanding while I'm preaching, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that your word says signs and wonders follow your word when it's preached. And we are preaching and teaching your word today, and we're expecting to see signs and wonders follow your word this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Amy is all over the message today. I'm telling you, that happens a lot. The Lord confirms His Word. Amen? But I'm going to start off a little different today. I rarely do this now, but I'm going to start off with a little joke today. A very little joke. It's about the pig and the chicken. They were talking one day, and the chicken said, "You know, that farmer is so good to us. He takes good care of us. We ought to do something good for him." And the pig said, "Like what?" And the chicken said, "Let's give him ham and eggs." The pig said, "That's easy for you to say. For you, that's a one-time offering. For me, that's total commitment." Oh, hallelujah. I told you it was a little joke. I told Pastor Sharon this morning, she asked me the title of the message. I said, the title's going to be, "Are You a Pig or a Chicken?" But we decided that wasn't the thing, you know. Matthew 20 and 16, I get you, if you will, to go to your Bibles there. Matthew 20 and 16 says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called. For many will be called, but few are chosen. Now, I'm going to give you a different definition. For many are called. For many are called, but few are faithful. That's my own definition of this. Amen. There are a lot of Christians that are called to do things, but they're not chosen because they're not faithful. It's not because the Lord doesn't want them and doesn't accept them. It's just they won't be faithful and they won't pass the test, so they can't do it. Whatever we're asked to do by God, be faithful to do it. You and I can be the most gifted and talented person that there is in ministry and singing and musician, teacher, helper, any form of vocational work. But what good is it if you don't show up? Hang on. Strap on to the bus. The bus is going around some curbs today. The bus is going to go full speed today, and you might fall out of the seat today. Hallelujah. What good is it if you don't show up? I noticed last week we had a tremendous outpouring of people because it was Easter. But what about the Sunday after Easter? What about the Sunday after Christmas? What about not just two times a year? Faithfulness, God's not happy and not God's not pleased with just a couple of times a year. Just doing it every now and then to get by. God is pleased. God looks at, God is proud of somebody that is faithful week in and week out. Hang on. What good is it if you're the most gifted singer in the whole world and you're asked to sing a special on a certain day at a certain time, but you're tired, you're sleepy? You deserve a break today. McDonald's. So no one will be blessed by your gift because you're not faithful. And God considers that a big thing. Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9. Now we think that's not that important, but it's important to God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Faithfulness is very, very important to God. Now, I've told this before, but one time there was a guy that came here, and he was a very, very gifted musician. And I had everybody in the body was telling me, this guy, he plays all the time, he's been doing it for years, and I had more than one person, just many people tell me, he needs to be on the praise and worship team because he's so gifted. And you know, I heard about him or whatever, and I talked to him a couple times, and he came up to me one day, and he said, I'm ready. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready to be on the team. I said, you are? And he said, yeah. He said, there's just a couple things I need you to know. He said, I've been doing this for years. I'm very, very good at what I do. And he said, and I know they have practices. He said, but I won't need to be at those practices. Because I'm above that, really, is what he was telling me. He had too high of an opinion of himself. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. And sometimes we all get, sometimes where we have too high of opinion of ourselves. That's when your feet are getting knocked down. I'm telling you, it's not a good thing. So I won't need to be doing that because, you know, he was telling me he didn't need to be faithful in little things like practices. Because he's so gifted. He said, call me. I lost his number. I don't know where it's at. Even if I found it, I'll burn it. Proverbs 25 and 19. This is good. Depending on an unreliable person in a crisis is like trying to chew with a loose tooth or walk with a crippled foot. In the Passion Translation, I've never seen this before. You can't depend on an unreliable person when you really need help. It can be compared to biting down on an abscessed tooth or walking with a sprained ankle. That really paints a picture. I don't know if you've ever had a broken tooth, but it doesn't feel good. It's hard to walk with a sprained ankle. It's hard to use someone who's not faithful and not committed. Can you be faithful in a little job? Well, my job, it only pays minimum wage. It's just a little job. Can you go to work every day, day in and day out, when it's hot, when it's cold, when it's raining, when the sun is shining? Can you be there on time or early? Can you work late if necessary? Can you come in early if necessary? Can you have a good attitude even when you're going through a difficult time? Or do you talk disrespectfully to your boss and to the people at your job? Do they know they can count on you? Do they know that you'll be there unless something really major is up? Or do you show your employer, and do you show your employer such respect that if you just have to be out, you call and let them know as soon as possible? Can you be faithful in that little job with that little pay? See, that little job and that little pay is a test to see if you qualify for greater. God will give you a bigger job with bigger pay. God will give you more responsibility. God will give you a title to go with that job. God will give you a promotion to go with that job. God will increase you more and more and more, but He's basing it on the little things, the little jobs, the little faithfulness, the little things that don't seem like they amount to a hill of beans. In God's eyes, they're huge, and they are connected to everything in this life. Years ago, I had a man tell me he had a low-paying job. He said, he don't pay me like he should pay me. He just don't do right. He said, so I make up for it. I said, how? He opened his toolbox on the back of his pickup truck. He said, see all these tools? I said, yeah. He said, I charge them all to him. He said, so they're my tools now. Luke 16 and 12, easy to read. If you cannot be trusted with the things, we've heard this morning, with the things that belong to someone else, you'll be not given anything of your own. So I missed work. What's the big deal? Wait a minute. Are we still on the bus? The bus is still going. We're still going. We're going to the destination. So I missed work. What's the big deal? Were you sick? If so, that's understandable. But if you have a pattern of not being faithful, well, I missed 4 days in January, and I missed 3 days in February, and I was late 7 times last month. I really wasn't sick. I was tired. Tired of this job. If they can't count on you, just like a broken tooth can't be counted on, and it may have to be extracted or replaced. Well, I don't know why they fired me. I'm such a diligent employee. Thank you. Thank you very much. Take care of what belongs to somebody else. Faithfulness is a test to see if you qualify for greater. If you borrow something, and is it torn up when you return it? Have y'all ever loaned something out? And I know we loaned out a lawnmower one time. And after a few months, we heard that the lawnmower's tire was broke. The whole lawnmower was just torn to pieces. And I said, it's all right. Just keep it. Just keep it. Don't even bring it back. Just keep it. It'll be all right. I took the loss on that. Why did I take the loss? Because I know God will pay me back greater. I know He'll take care of me. But you have to take care of people's stuff. You know, it's better not to borrow stuff, and then you don't have to take care of people's stuff. So many people want to loan us a book. They want to loan us this. They want to loan us that. Me and Pastor Sharon have a new policy. Don't loan us nothing. Because that means we got to take great care of it until we get it back, and we may forget to give it back to you. Thank you very much. Some of y'all got this, some of y'all didn't. You say, well, I'm borrowing so-and-so. I'm not saying you've got to do this. I'm just saying if you borrow somebody's car, take it back in better shape than when you borrowed it. If it was full of gas when you borrowed it, don't take it back empty. Thank you very much. This is really good. If you rent from somebody else, do you take care of it like it's your own? Well, I'm going to have a huge house one day. I'm going to have a $2 million house. Not if you don't take care of the house you rent now. Well, it's not mine, so I don't take great care of it. Well, you failed the test, and God can't give you greater. He wants to, but you consider it a small, unimportant thing because it belongs to someone else. Well, do you pay your rent on time, or do you have an attitude that it's not important? What are they thinking? I mean, I got other things. And they throw you out on the street, and you're telling that sad story. The reason they threw you out on the street is because they had a mortgage, and they had to pay their mortgage, and they couldn't pay their mortgage because you didn't pay your rent. And it's not because you didn't consider the little thing important, like paying rent to keep a roof over thine head. It's a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Sometimes we fail the test. God can't give us greater if we don't take care of what belongs to somebody else. Okay, I'm going to take a side journey. Can I do that? Okay. The church septic tank. We had the tank pumped. We had to replace the pump. And the man said, "Do you know why this pump went bad?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Because people flushed paper towels and sanitary napkins down the toilets, and it caused the pump to burn up. So the church had to pay $200 to have it pumped out where we shouldn't have, because it only backed up because the pump burned out. We had to pay $530 to replace it. And that was with that man, Ricky Dunn, being so good to us. He charged us less than half. I mean, he didn't even charge us a third of what somebody else would have charged. The glory of God was in that man doing that and taking care of that for us. But people caused this. Hang on. People that didn't care. It didn't belong to them. It's not their house. It's just the church. But it is. It's all of our house. It's God's house. And we should do better. Zechariah 4 and 10. Do not despise these small beginnings or little things or small things. The people, Zechariah 4 and 10, the expanded Bible, that was New Living. The people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant or small things are unimportant. Faithful in little, faithful in small. Well, Pastor, I would tithe and I would give offerings like you have never seen if I won the lotto. You don't know, as a pastor, how many times people have come up to me in the last 24 years and told me, "You just pray for me to win the lotto. Because when I win the lotto, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give offerings. You ain't never seen like what I'm going to do because I'm..." Woo! No, you wouldn't. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to us. If you're stingy with a little, you'll be stingy with a lot. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. If I had all that money... No, you wouldn't. What about that little paycheck you got? Hang on. You got a little... Yeah, but you're talking about what I got right now. I'm talking about what if I had this, I would give it. What you got now? Are you giving off that? Well, no. I can't afford to give off that. Then you wouldn't give it if you had $2 million or $10 million or $20 million. You wouldn't do it. You can't tithe off of a big amount if you can't tithe off of a small amount. It is not possible, because if you're greedy in little, you'll be greedy in much. You say, "Well, you know, I was going to give it to the church, but the tax man took so much money. I just, you know, by the time I bought the boat, and by the time I did the other stuff, and by the time I remodeled the house, I just didn't have any money left to give to the church. I just couldn't give a tithe." This is good preaching. There's a flow here right here. Woo! I'm telling you. And the tithers are throwing gasoline on me. Whoa! Take it! What about that little tax check you got? Yeah, but I'm going to do some stuff with that. Yeah, God says it's going to blow away. It's going to blow away. Holy Spirit reminded me of something. Years ago, y'all ever heard of R.W. Shambach? He said that there was this lady in his church that came into an inheritance. It was a great amount of money. It was millions of dollars. And she didn't want anybody to know she had it. And one of the kids, I mean, she had it, and, you know, everybody in the community knew something was going on with her and that she had it, but she told the kids, "Don't you tell Pastor that we got that money. Don't you do it." And so, you know, little kids, they tell everything they know. And so what she did is she heard about this mall project, and you can make like 10 times the amount of money on your investment. So she took every penny of those millions of dollars and she put it in that mall investment. She's just, whoo, she's going to make some money. She didn't tithe a nickel. She didn't give nothing. Lost every penny she had. And the kids was telling Pastor Shambach about it before she'd done it. He didn't say anything to her. And then he found out the outcome. She wasn't faithful in little, and so she couldn't be ruler over much. Well, Pastor, I tithe. I come Easter and I come Christmas and I tithe. I tithe 2 times a year. Woo! We can't even fix the septic tank with what you tithe. Whoa, that was good. That was good. Your faithfulness is not going to move nothing. It won't help nothing. Hallelujah. Because the light bill, it comes every month. The church payment, which is thousands of dollars, it comes every month. And you know those crazy banks? They expect us to pay it. They're like, pay this money. Don't they know? We got problems. Don't they know I'm going through something? I can't do it. Not faithful in little. See, you got to be faithful in the problems. You got to be faithful to come to church when you don't feel like coming to church. You got to be faithful to go to your job when you don't feel like going to your job. You got to be faithful. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I got it in my notes. If you can't tithe on 200, you certainly can't tithe on 2 million. Not a chance. A faithful person goes to church consistently, week in and week out. Do you serve in little things, small areas in the church that you consider small, that they're not considered small by God, but what you consider small? Are you there when you're asked to be there? Do you do what you're asked to do? Keith Moore said the reason he is in the ministry and his ministry is so successful today is because he moved chairs and he moved tables and he set up their healing meetings after the services. And he said the only reason he didn't have any connections with anybody in the Kenneth Hagin ministry, and you know, he became very well known. And the reason he became well known is, he said, because he was always there. And he said, people learn your name when you're always there. And he said, it was like, Brother Keith, can you move these chairs? Brother Keith, can you move this table? Brother Keith, can you do so-and-so? Brother Keith, can you take so-and-so to this place over here? Brother Keith, the teacher's out. Can you teach today? Well, somebody else can do it today. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I deserve my break. You get rewards for being faithful. Proverbs 28 and 20. It unlocks things we don't realize it unlocks. See, Amy, what you just said about, you know, it was all reversed. It all looked one way, but that consistency, that blessing was still working, even though it was the enemy's trying to make it look like everything's working against you. But God said, I'm turning this around. I'm turning this around. Because He blesses faithfulness. He blesses, when I say faithfulness, I'm talking about consistency. Consistency. God blesses consistency. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, Proverbs 28 and 20. Y'all still on the bus? There's a lot of people that are always in dire straits. But the truth is, God gave them the money for their bills and for their giving. But they weren't faithful in that little. They blew it on other things. Now they're mad at all their friends and relatives for not helping them. Some people you can't help. Some people you shouldn't help. If they don't have a roof over their head because they spent the money on drugs or alcohol or other things that weren't needed and necessary, you can't help them. You're hurting them by giving to them. Little faith. There's a lady one time that I prayed for. She came up and she said, believe with me for 16, like these places for women's ministry. And I prayed, you know, and I didn't have any faith for it at all. Because you can't believe for 16 until you believe for one. There was a man that I know. He was my friend. He went to another church and he had this huge vision for the homeless ministry. And his pastor, he shared his vision with his pastor. And his pastor said, you know what? We're going to rent that building. A building in the middle of this place. We're going to minister to those homeless people. And he said, no. Pastor, I got a huge vision. You must not understand what I got. I see a building that is tremendously large. It is so huge. And you're wanting to rent this little hole in the wall that's nothing. I don't want that. The Bible, the Scripture, don't despise the day of small beginnings, of little things. That pastor knew the principle, desire not, despise not the day of small beginnings or small things. Small faith. Believe for a cup of coffee before you believe for $1 million.
Amen.
Hang on. Right. Believe for a cup of coffee before you believe for $1 million. Use your faith in little things first. Believe for a dollar raise or a $2 raise before you believe for a $10,000 raise. Your level of faith grows. A small seed, it grows and it gets larger. And if we keep growing in our faith, we'll believe for more tomorrow than we are today. Kenneth Hagin made a statement one time. He is stretched. He's believing for the finances for him and his wife and for his ministry is starting up. And he's believing everything that he can to keep the bills paid. And he said his wife came to him and said, you know, they just got a house. And she said, well, Kenneth, she said, I want these new drapes. And she said, I want us to get those drapes. And he said, Aretha, he said, I can't hang any drapes right now on my faith, or my faith will fall. He said, if you want drapes, you believe for them yourself. I'm believing to keep the lights on and the doors open. That was good. My faith won't hold them today. Your faith won't hold some things that we think it will today, but it will tomorrow if we keep growing. Luke 16, in the voice, if you're faithful in small scale matters, you'll be faithful with far bigger responsibilities. If you're crooked or not faithful in small responsibilities, you'll be no different in bigger things. If you can't even handle a small thing like money, who's going to entrust you with spiritual riches that really matter? If you don't manage well someone else's assets that are entrusted to you, who's going to give over to you important spiritual and personal relationships to manage? If you've proved and if I've proved that we could be trusted with a small amount, a small task, a small job, then we'll be faithful in bigger things. We went to a ministry meeting. This has been over 30 years ago. And we were in another church. And we just went to these ministry meetings all over the place. But this one, I didn't know anybody really there. And this guy had met him before, but I didn't know anything about him. And he called me out. He asked me to stand up, and he started prophesying. And he said, I see you. And he didn't know me personally, know me. And he said, I see you. And he said, I see a lot of little bitty things that you're doing. And he said, the Spirit of God is telling you, you think these little bitty things are not important. And I was doing a ton of little bitty things. I was locking and unlocking the doors of the church. For every special meeting that we had at the church, I was locking and unlocking because several people didn't have a key. I was the key guy. And we had a lot of stuff going on. And I'm going back and forth. You say, well, how did you do it? It was hard. Because I had a very full-time job. I'm talking very full-time. And then I'm locking and unlocking, and then I'm doing other stuff. I mean, I'm cleaning toilets. I'm going behind other people and mopping floors, and I'm doing anything that's needed to be done at the church. I'm doing it. You say, well, and I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm trying to say something. He kept bringing this out in this prophecy. He said, you think, You just, this is in you. You're just thinking these little things, they don't amount to a hill of beans. And the Lord said, they do. And the Lord said to you, they're very important. What you're doing is very, very important to Him. And He prophesied about some future things. This, it was in that prophecy. I didn't realize that's what He was talking about at the time, but now I know. But we think the little things, they don't matter, but they do. How many of y'all, now the guys will know this, how many of y'all have ever seen The Karate Kid? Okay, if you hadn't, you need to go home and watch The Karate Kid. Okay, Daniel-san. He's over at, you know, over at his teacher's house. And the teacher said, you know, is going to train him to do karate. He said, okay. He said, go out to my cars. And he shows him, he said, wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. And you know, all week he's waxing on and waxing off. He's waxed all these cars. And then he's doing all these little nothing of things that he's doing. I mean, there was different things in different movies. He's hammering and painting the man's house, you know, and he's doing all this stuff. And he finally gets so frustrated in these little tasks that he's doing. And he said, I see what the real deal is. He said, you get your cars, you know, polished and waxed. He said, because of me. And he said, you get your house painted because of me. I see what's really going on here. And he said, no, you don't. He said, Daniel, son. And he was like, what? And he said, wax on. And he said, and he taught him what he was teaching him was going to take. He was already training him. Hang on. He was already training him. Greeting is already training you. Ushering is already training you. Doing audio is already training you for the things and the tasks and the doors of promotion that are going to be open to you, even on your job, as you're faithful in little things to God that only God sees. There's going to be opportunities that come your path, that cross your path, that you wouldn't have got otherwise if you hadn't been faithful in little bitty things that don't seem to be connected in any way. But God says they're very connected. Sometimes you've got to go when you don't feel like it. You've got to serve when you don't want to serve. When you don't know what to do. Bean's amening over there. Because I asked him, because I was asked. I was asked to do things that I didn't know how to do. And I asked, I remember on the video ministry, I said, Bean, I said, you know anything about the video ministry? He said, no. I said, perfect. You're just the one that it's supposed to be. That's great. He said, but I don't know how to do this. I said, great, learn. He said, well, Pastor, did you help him in any way? Mm-mm. I just told him to pray. I told him I would pray for him. And he's having to learn this stuff. He called me. He said, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I said, you'll get it. And I hung up the phone. You know, that's the truth. He's still learning. Still learning. Guess what? I'm still learning. Guess what? Anybody in this sanctuary, anybody in this church, anybody on their job, if you really understand this, you've got to be always teachable. You're still learning. You're always learning. God's constantly showing us how to do better. We say, well, I couldn't dare serve with the children. You could if God asked you to. Well, I wouldn't know what to do. God will give it to you. Can I give you something else real quick? When we started out, we were wanting to do something. We had several youth coming, and we said, we got to do something. We're in the storefront, and we just got a handful of people. And, you know, faithfulness is the key here. I mean, it's a big key. If you can't count on somebody to be faithful to do what you ask them to do, what good is it? But I'm praying and praying and praying. I said, we got to have somebody to do the youth. Who are we going to get to do the youth? And I kept coming up with the same name. I ain't got many names to choose from. You understand? And it was Granny, Sharon's mom. She wasn't exactly a spring chicken. You understand? She's 82, fixing to be 83 any day now, next Monday. And I said, Granny, I said, I need you to do something for me. I need you to do something at the church. She said, sure. I said, I need you to lead the youth. Huh? I said, I need you to lead the youth. I can't lead the youth. I said, you can. You can do all things. You can do it. And once she got over the initial shock, like we all do, she was like, okay. She said, we're going to buy some pizza, and we're gonna have a pizza party, and we're going to... Next thing we know, they got a pizza party down there on a Friday night at the storefront, and there was like 8 or 9, 10 youth at this... I mean, it was like, you got to be kidding. And these kids started coming to church. Now, I understand that was not going to be her full-time spot. But you understand sometimes God wants you to fill in and be faithful until the right person or the comes along. Oh, that was good. You almost missed it. Oh, you almost missed it. I'm telling you, that was good preaching. No, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. No, I would kill the children. I can't be back there with the children. No. No, all of those children people, they're all different. They're all like very calm. You know, they have that calmness about them. The children are, you know, just hanging from the chandeliers, and they're doing all kind of... Now, little Johnny, there's a spirit of peace on you. And they can handle it with their words and stuff. But that's not the way I would handle it. Well, I'm sure there's an area that you could fill in without killing someone that would help. That would help. Amen? I'm going to call Pastor Sharon as I'm giving the last couple of scriptures. Colossians, thank y'all for drawing today the way you have. Colossians 3:23, and all the work you're doing, work the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord and not for people. Remember that. It's for the Lord. And Matthew 25 and 21 says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. His master was replying, Good job. You're a good and faithful servant. You've proved that you could be trusted with a small amount, a small task, a small job, and I'll put you in charge of a large amount, a large task, a larger job. Come and share your master's happiness. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Awesome word to us this morning. Amen. And I know from experience what Pastor was teaching this morning, because I've been pushed out of my comfort zone many times. Amen. But God does want to use you. And sometimes it's a good thing to be pushed out of our comfort zone. Amen.
Amen.
Because I know when first time Pastor mentioned to me about teaching, ministering in service, I was like, no. I can't do that. But he just said, okay. And he didn't say anything else for a few days, but the Lord was dealing with me the whole time, you know, to do it, just to be obedient and do it. And so I came back to Pastor and I said, if you really feel like it's God, if you really feel it, it's God, then I guess I'll do it. So anyway, once you step out in faith, and you know it's always by faith.
Amen.
We think it's going to be some strong thing that's going to be on us. But it's not, normally it's not like that.
That's
most
right.
of the time it's not. And so when you just yield yourself to God and say, okay, God, I'll do this for you.
Amen.
Then comes the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the ability. And it's an awesome thing to be used of God. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants to use each and every person somewhere. Amen? We all have different talents and giftings and all everything. But God is so good to be right there with you, to back you up.
Amen?
Amen? So
Amen.
Don't ever be afraid to step out in faith by God, with God, through God. Amen? Because you're not going to be on your own. You're going to have the Lord go before you. Amen.
Amen.
So let's just bow our heads this morning and dismiss in prayer before I have Deborah come up. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you are so good to us, Father God. We thank you that you are a God that just loves us and cares for us. And Father, we thank you that you look over us. Every part of our lives, Father God, and we give you praise this morning. We ask you, Father, just to go with each and every person this morning. Go with them, go through this week with them, Father God, and have your way in each and every heart and each and every life, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Deborah, you can come up at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to put in practice the Word of God this morning. We're not going to just be hearers. We're going to be doers of the Word. Amen. Glory to God.